the musicians could come. Look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Lord, that you have opened our eyes and stopped our ears, Father, to hear the message of the kingdom of God, that you have elevated our vision, Father, for something bigger and greater than ourselves. And Father, Lord, that you have called us, this kingdom call has been sent out throughout the length and the breadth of the land. And your people have heard the call and come from the north and the south and the east and the west to come to this holy mountain to hear from thee, O Father. And you've come down and you've come. Your voice has been heard in prophecy, in song, in exhortation, in the teaching of the word, in the reading of your word, and in so many ways you speak to our hearts. And you draw people. And oh, Father, Lord, we live in a very serious time, as we've been told, and we want to be found in a place of faithfulness, dear Lord Jesus. And Lord, you have spoken us so powerfully and so softly to us in this camp, as you have in many camps. But, oh, Father, we feel that you're preparing us for something great in the future. And we want to be equipped and prepared and strengthened for the days that lie ahead. We commit this service to thee, and we pray that your anointing would rain down upon us powerfully all over your people. We thank you. We commit this service to thee. In thy name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad to be here. It's been a long time. And I have a history with so many of you. And I love you all so much. And I'm so glad to be here. And I know I think the last time I was here is maybe 5 years ago or something like that. And I wish I could get out here more. But this year, I'm also so happy that I was able to bring my wife and daughter too. So I feel kind of more complete that I'm here. And we have our two wonderful families from our assembly. They've been new to us. And the Bernies and the Lockards, we're so thrilled that they're here too. And because I don't get out here too often and I don't see the majestic mountains that you have around here in the Smokies, in North Carolina, West Virginia here, I forget sometimes how beautiful they are when I come by here. It's kind of probably nothing to you all, but to me it's just breathtaking. And it reminds me of when I told my wife many years ago, before we were married, that I wanted to go to the Canadian Rockies for our honeymoon, because I am just so mesmerized by the beauty of those majestic peaks. They always take my breath away. So as the joke goes, all while we were driving amongst all of those beautiful mountains on our honeymoon, I kept saying, "Wow, wow." And I finally turned and looked at the mountains, and I said, "Wow," again. But I tell you, as we were traveling here this time, and I kept looking at those Smoky Mountains, the verses that came to me were in Isaiah, the second chapter, about the mountain of the Lord's house. And I thought, If the brethren should call me to lead a meeting, I thought maybe I could read those verses and sing some songs along that line. And then Sunday night, when Brother Andy talked about the Feast of Tabernacles and how that Zechariah said that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. When I heard that, I thought, well, there, now that would be a great segue into reading Isaiah the second chapter when I get up there. And some songs along that line. And when you know it, shortly afterwards, Andy started reading Isaiah the second chapter. And read it and ministered from it. So then I thought, well, maybe if I get called up there, there's certainly a song I could lead along that line, based on Andy's scripture, which is, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. And then the very next morning, Brother Dave Luff gets up and leads. And he says, you know, I think a good song to sing would be, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. So, and then I thought, well, I could just at least read Isaiah, the second chapter again. And then Brother Bernard reads from it again. So I'm thinking, these brethren, they took my message, they took my verses, and my song. But I love them. But you know, I don't feel bad about that at all. It just seems to me that it's talking, God is talking to us the same way. And that's encouraging. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened in St. Louis. That I'll bring something to the people, and someone will come to me and say, that's exactly how the Lord's been talking to me. And so I just think that there might be something about that message, about the mountains of the Lord's house that the Lord might want to talk to us about. And I know we sang it once, but let's sing it again. If we could stand and sing, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, unto the house of our God. Again, one more time. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, unto the house of our God. And come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, unto the house of our God. I just love the imagery that the prophet says lays out for us here. He's saying that in the last days, and we've already been told we're living in those last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the tops of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And he's not saying the Lord's house shall be established literally on the top of a mountain peak, of course, as in a high elevation. But he uses, seems, the imagery of a mountain, because there's just something about a mountain that just seems to reach for the heavens. And he says, "Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways." He's been doing that. And then what's our responsibility? We will walk in his paths. It's not enough for him to teach us of his ways. If it goes one ear out the other, what good is it? It's got to find a place in our heart that it'll bear fruit. Amen. "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." There's another song we sing about a mountain. "Hear the trumpet," what? Sound. "From all ye soldiers of the..." Sounding from the mountain. Mountain of our God. It is time to awaken out of slumber and of sleep. I think we've heard that this camp already. "For our redemption is now drawing nigh. See the evil forces now arrayed against the church." Those evil forces are sure arrayed against the church these days, aren't they? More and more every day. "Put on your armor and be brave and strong. Christ, the captain of our salvation, will give command. His kingdom is at hand. Let us begin to sing the victor's song." Let's sing that. Hear the trumpet sounding. Hear the trumpet sounding. Just the instruments play this, and we actually have a trumpet player here, so we want to hear it. Here we go. Thank you. Hallelujah. You know that one of the purposes for the day of the blowing of trumpets was the calling of assembly together. And in these last days, there has been a kingdom call. A kingdom call that has been trumpeted throughout the length and the breadth of the earth to leave behind earthly schedules, earthly appointments, earthly ambitions and pleasures and cares, and go up to this mountain of the Lord. And many people shall hear the voice of the Lord to come and gather themselves together and hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, and they will drop everything and come. And I think we've done that. There's another song about mountains. I want to see Israel marching. I want to hear the kingdom call, like we said. I want to climb Zion's mountain. I want to see great Babylon fall. Boy, I want to see that happen. I want to see Jesus reigning upon King David's royal throne. Oh, won't that be a glorious sight to see when Israel comes marching home? Amen. You do the action. Can you come do it? Help us with it? Well, just get started. I want to see Israel marching. I want to hear the kingdom call. I want to climb Zion's mountain. I want to see great Babylon fall. I want to see Jesus reign upon David's royal throne. Oh, won't that be a glorious sight to see with Israel marching home. I want to see Israel marching. I want to hear the Jesus reigning upon David's royal throne. Oh, won't that be a glorious sight to see when Israel comes marching home? Do it again. I'll give you some exercise. That's okay. I want to see Israel marching. I want to hear the kingdom fall. I want to Hallelujah. I hope the reason that we came here from many miles and many places, the north, south, and east and west, isn't just for recreation and fellowship. I love recreation and love fellowship. I hope it's because we've heard the kingdom call. I hope it's because we want to hear the voice of the Lord from in this high, holy, lofty mountain. Because when we come for this purpose, His voice does thunder down upon His people in prophecy and in song, in exhortation and teaching, and it will prepare and equip and encourage and edify and strengthen His people for the days ahead. You know, there's one of the lines in the songs we sang that says, let us begin to sing the victor's song, the victor. Who is the victor? Jesus Christ is the victor. Victor over what? Well, the evil forces, it says, now arrayed against the church that we talked about, of whom we are a part. over principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world. We don't have to fear these enemies, as we've already heard. We don't have to battle against these foes ourselves. Because, as we sang this morning, the battle belongs to who? The Lord. Not to us. And He's already won the victory. Amen?
Amen?
And so all we have to do is hold His banner high and begin to sing that victor song. And I tell you that sometimes just singing that song alone will bring the victory. It will confuse the ranks of the enemy, and it will put him in disarray and into flight. I remember Brother Wayne Peters, not this year but last, said that if you have a ministry in singing, God may very well put you on the front lines of His army. I just thought, you know, you don't even have to necessarily have a great voice. If it comes from the well of living water within, that alone will do the job. I thought of this story, and I thought it's very short, that really touched me. The noted, and this is about an orchestra and violin. That's kind of my thing. But the noted conductor, his name was Reichel, was taking his orchestra and choir through the final rehearsal of George Frideric Handel's beautiful and inspiring oratorio, The Messiah. As the soprano soloist sang the refrain, "I know that my Redeemer liveth," she sang it with perfect breathing, clear enunciation, controlled vibrato, perfect volume and articulation. It was musically flawless. Those that listened gasped when she was finished. They looked over to the conductor for his response of approval. With a motion of his baton for silence, he walked over to the soloist. He looked into her eyes and didn't talk to her about her vibrato, her tone, her articulation. He said almost sadly, "My daughter, you do not really know that your Redeemer lives, do you?" Embarrassed, she paused and then she said, "Why, yes, I do." He said, "Then sing it. Sing it to me, but sing it to Him. Sing it to your Redeemer. So that I and everyone here will know that you personally have experienced the power and the glory of your Redeemer." This performance, he said, wasn't about you and how flawless you sang. It's about the one you're singing about. "Sing it to me so that I and everyone here will know that you personally have experienced the power and the glory of that Redeemer." She paused again, nodded as if in complete understanding. She closed her eyes, and she began to reflect in quiet meditation upon the Redeemer that she knew so well, who loved her, died for her, rose from the dead, who forgave her, redeemed her, who empowered her, lived in her heart, and gave her a joy and a reason for living. The maestro then went back to the podium and raised his arms to begin again, and this time she sang the refrain, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." With a power, a fervor, a love, a passion, and an intensity that testified of her own personal knowledge of her risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this time, those who listened to her greatly moved and wept openly. And when she was finished, there was a holy hush in the auditorium. And the old maestro, his eyes also wet with tears, walked over to the soloist and said, "You do know Him, and this time you have told all of us." Just thought I'd say that because it doesn't matter how refined you are in the art of singing. If you love Him, sing it to Him. There's a few songs about redeemed, and I want Lisa to help me with this one too. "I am redeemed, and I know that I am." Does anybody know that one? Oh, that's a good one. And there's a male and female echo with that. And I'm going to have Lisa and I sing that, and then we're going to, you can all join us. It's like a male and then the female echoes. I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
And I know that I am. I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
And I know that I am. I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
And I know that I am. And I know that I know that I am. I've been set free.
I've been set free. And I know that I am.
I've been set free.
I've been set free.
And I know that I am. I've been set free.
I've been set free. And I know that I am. And
I'm spirit filled.
I'm spirit filled.
And I know that I am.
I'm spirit filled.
I'm spirit filled. And I know that I am. I'm spirit filled.
I'm spirit filled.
And I know that I am.
And I know that I know that I am.
Spirit led. I'm spirit led.
I'm spirit led. And I know that I am.
I'm spirit led. I'm spirit-led.
I'm spirit-led.
And I know that I am.
And I know that I know that I am.
I am redeemed. I've been set free. I'm spirit-filled. And I'm spirit-led. Amen. It's a simple song, very easy to learn. And it's interesting, we don't want to just be spirit-filled. We can be filled on in a camp like this, or on Sunday morning in local services. But if you turn on and turn off the Spirit, and you leave and you turn it off, what good is that? You know, we want to be led. We want to be led 24/7. Praise the Lord. I think it's a good one. Let's still sing it again. I am redeemed.
I am redeemed, and I know that I am.
Think about those words. I am redeemed. I've been set free. And you don't take it for granted. And you just think about those words. It ought to, the joy should be bubbling up within you. And the smile should be there. And I think, and I'm singing a few smiles out there. But let's think about what we're singing about. And sing it again. I want to see some smiles. I am redeemed.
I am redeemed. And I know that I am. I am redeemed.
I've been
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That would be 201. 201 in the book. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. Know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the time. And silent, His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who loving guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. There's one other song here about redemption, My Redeemer, 96. Tune starts. Somebody help me.
A Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cross He suffered, from the curse set me free. See, sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon. Paid the debt and set me free. in his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom free gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his praise my dear Redeemer. His triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of blood, he purchased me. Cross, he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Just remain standing for just a minute here. We're going to pray tonight for Greg Olson in Nebraska. Greg has asked for prayer. He had a biopsy for in his lungs, and he'll have the results tomorrow. And we have requests that we pray for him that there's good results. And if you'll just remain where you're standing for just a moment. Heavenly Father, tonight we come to you as a body of believers standing together as one, agreeing together on behalf of one person tonight, and that is Greg Olson. We pray, my Father, even by virtue of our prayers tonight, that you place your hands upon Greg. We pray that this issue be corrected, be healed, be gone, dear Lord, before it even begins. We speak a word of health and a word of healing because of the work of the cross tonight, dear Lord. We stand against this thing right now, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus. We're reminded of the book of Jude where it said that Michael simply didn't give a railing accusation but simply said, the Lord rebuke you to the enemy. And dear Lord, tonight we simply say that as a body of believers, we rebuke that illness. that problem even now by the power of Jesus. We look to you, dear Lord, that we have that Greg has a good report tomorrow or the next day, my Father, when the results come back. We pray for a good report. Let your hand be on him and touch him and heal him in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You may be seated.
Father, you put everything into the Son's hands. And you sent him, Lord, to this world to reveal him and yourself to us. Lord, we can go years and years, Lord, and we feel like we don't even scratch the surface, Lord, of the wisdom that is from above. But Lord, you open that wisdom to us, Lord. You open yourselves to us, Lord, and you call us, Lord, and you ask us, Lord, to step aside from what we're doing and listen. And Lord, we feel like that this week that so much is being said and done and leading up, Lord, to your coming. But Lord, we look and desire that coming so much. But Lord, there's a deeper desire, Lord, and a longing for that coming within us. That breaking forth within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. A life that is pleasing and, Lord, in step with your will. And as your Son said on earth, that my will is to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Lord, we are to also pray the same prayer and seek the same thing. And to have that oneness with you and with each other, that our hearts and intents would be, Lord, to accomplish your plan. Your plan set before the foundations of the earth. Your plan, Lord, for your own, your inheritance, your elect. You're chosen. And Lord, we come to you tonight asking that all things be set aside but you. Oh God, we need you. Oh Lord, we need you. Lord, we can't do without you. We can't make our steps, Lord. We can't make our daily walk without you, Lord. We want more of you, Lord. Help us tonight. Bless what is said. In Jesus' name we pray. I am so thankful for all that's been said this week so far. And I've mentioned this to you many times before. I'm amazed how God moves in His people. You have things that the Lord, you feel like, and you, the Spirit, the Scripture says to test the spirits, doesn't He? To see if they're of God. I just don't want to go out here and say, well, I know this from God, and I'd be very, very dynamic about it. I want to say I believe with my heart this is from God, but I'm going to test it. I'm going to see. I'm going to check it and recheck it and see by His Word and by our brothers that we work with and see if these things are from God. And when we give that test, and our brother mentioned plurality, I don't know which meeting it was, there is no way under heaven I would want to be any other place than under that plurality. That's the reason why there's more than one, if it's possible, more than one elder in an assembly. That is why there's more than two or three traveling deacons, and there's several traveling elders. They are all plurality. To see and to check and to pray and to find out, is this the revelation that God is saying to us by His Spirit for this hour? Amen. And I'm not here to, I hope, to take away from any things being said, because I feel very weak within myself right now. And I have more struggles than you believe. So I said, well, he can get up there and talk and really give a strong message or something like that, but sometimes it's all I can do. And I'm not trying to put notice to myself, but I'm saying that my power and anything that I have within me, I have to rely on God. And the day that I quit doing that is the day I'm going to ask to be, let me just kind of sit aside. Because we want what God has for the people of God. And our prayer and our heart is that the church will grow and grow and grow up into these things that God is revealing to us by His Spirit. And these things are not to be taken lightly. David talked of a certain things that to be done and said and that have been preached through the years, but said there is a cleansing that needs to be done. And the way to go about that cleansing and to be purified, and that is the goal of our hearts, is to walk in that purity that God has asked us to be. To walk in His commandments, to do His will. And I'm going to get to a few of those scriptures in a minute. I'm setting the stage for this because I felt a little bit queaky as I came up here. Usually I can walk with a little strength, but I said, maybe I better sit down. But then when I heard a few things, the very thing I'm getting ready to read just came right back into my soul. And I said, yes, Lord. It's your word. It's strong. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thy word, precious. And the word of God, this is another message, this is not what I'm getting ready to say. The word was sent to us in the form of his son. And that word was implanted with life. And that life is the light of men. Oh, the Word of God, how precious it is. How glorious it is that we have the anointed Word of God that we can test and see what is right. And I'm thankful for that check. And if it's in his word, then God will confirm it. He will not contradict his word. I had a scripture come to me, and I felt, well, Lord, is this from you, or is this something that's of myself, you know? And it just kept building and building and building and building. And I said, and so I just wrote it down. That's how I start. But I don't like to talk about how I do things because I'm just unique. I do things probably different than anybody else. But it's just me. But I wrote it down. And I looked at it. And I prayed about it. And I looked at it. And all of a sudden it just seemed to kind of just start flowing, and scripture started coming to it and so forth. So I'm not going to talk anymore about the logistics of things. I want the meat of what I want to say to you right now. I just say that because I'm trying to, I don't know what I'm trying to do. But the Lord knows. But I want to reveal to you my heart. Because I want my heart to be right. And if it isn't right, I want God to correct it and make it right. I want my motives to be right. And if they're not right, Lord, correct them. I've often said, and I've said in the local church a lot, before you do anything, check your motive. If your motive is to please God, and God has led you and it's part of your ministry, then He will fit it in and bring it out, and that anointing will be with it, and it'll be right. That means we have to put down these works of the flesh that God, that David talked about this morning. Envy and strife and jockeying for position and jealousies and all these things. We have to put a death to them like we've never had before. It is time, saints of God, that we do, and David said it, but I'm going to say it again, a reality check on these things that have been easily besetting us. We used to sing a song, I have come to believe in someone greater than me, who guides and protects me and will at last set me free. He is restoring my soul. Praise God. And I hope it's for all of us. And my what? My destiny. It's all because I have come to believe. And the verse goes like this. We all have had something that's been holding us down and keeps us from walking on most higher ground. But Jesus doesn't just leave us there. He says, come. Oh, hallelujah. I may just get excited just in that. Come, and I will last set you free. Oh, I will set you free for the thing that's been holding you back. It's all because you have come to believe. I believe that with all my heart. That if we do like our brother said, and I'll read some more about that in a minute because there was some few things in there. The Lord is speaking to us today about a temperament and a purity and a holiness that we cannot obtain to, but He can through us. Because He says, I will at last set you free. But if we do the things that He commands us to do, the steps, and you know what they are. You've heard them this morning, but there's more steps. If we do those things, read His Word, pray, seek His face, confess, repent, all these things, hallelujah, we can come to that resurrection life that we so desire and hunger for. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, praise His name. Oh, glory to His name. This is the Scriptures found in Romans 8:37. All there? All there? I love that. You know what? A couple camps ago, I think someone, or one of the meetings or something, said that one of the fellows from the overseas or something said, when he wanted to find out where the people had got to where they need to be, he says, you all there? And the people would say, yes, we're all there. So it kind of puts us in a oneness. We're all looking at the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, I'm going to read it first, and I'm going to go back, and we're going to tear it. I won't say tear this thing apart. We're going to dissect it. Excuse me, I'm Southern. I just kind of get it out. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us.
Amen.
And I looked at that thing and I said, well, glory, more than conquerors. You know, that's just so much that we can be, just go beyond just plain old conquering, where we can do much more. When the children of Israel conquered their enemies, what happened afterwards? They gathered the loot, didn't they? There was a re-celebration. There was a redemption. There was a praise of worship to God. And that's a shallow example right now, but I'm trying to get one that would fit, and I couldn't think of one, but I hope by the time I finish, you'll see that there, by having more than conquerors, there is more than just beating the situation. is rising above it and going beyond it and claiming the victory and walking in it. And I looked at this and I just could not catch the very thing that I felt like the Lord wanted me to think about. And the very first of it sets the stage for that. It says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And David says, he says, how many times have we says, this is what we should do, this is what, but we're not told how to do them. Was that right? I think I got that right. Was that pretty close? And I said, look at this. In all these things, we're not conquerors just by that word right there, but nay, in all these things. So I went back and look at verse 29. From whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, which means foreordained or elect in Christ into everlasting life. David gave another definition of foreknowledge. To be conformed to the image of his son. And we all know before we were born, in God's great plan, he did choose us. He said he fashioned our members. And he said it in his plan. In his foreknowledge. And as he predestined us to be in the image of his son. That in itself makes me feel, that makes me feel better that I've got a little something more than just being a conqueror. That Lord predestined. He did this. But the scripture says yea, nay, and all these things. There's more. So let's go on to more. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. And as you probably know, you don't know that you're going to be the elect. You don't know if you're going to be what the sons of God. You hope and you the Lord by his Spirit says you're mine and you have that relationship with him. But the Lord says in his word that be thou careful. And be standing in that day so that you may be able to stand before me in that day. So we got to do the work. It's not something we go back on our laurels and say, well, it's going to happen. We've got to keep going on. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on toward the kingdom. I'm pressing on, Lord. With your help, I'm pressing on. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. I have a southern simple explanation for justified, and I heard it years ago, and it's like this, just as if I had never did anything. I don't know if you like that or not, but I do. It just kind of puts it in plain English for me. He called me. He predestined me. He cleansed me. And by faith, I accepted his son. And then he justified me. And what it says down here, and I'll read it in a minute, there's another definition of justifying. But let's go on. These things, all these things, we are more than conquerors. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. You mean I can be glorified Yes. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Paul said it. They by the Spirit put it in the Word. I believe it. It is accomplishable. If that's the right word. If you're able to obtain it, that's a better explanation. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's another promise in all these things. With Him, Christ also freely gives us all things. That's another thing. So we have justification. We are being called, predestination. Before we were born, He knew what we would be. He knows the end from the beginning. Oh, it's just right out there for us in all these things. He freely gives us all things. And then He goes to this verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Bring charge against you. That's the Lord's doing. Amen? He convicts you. He brings it to your heart if you're right with Him. And when you get it right, the Lord says, I will cleanse you. If you confess your sins, He's what? He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So then He justifies you, just as if you have never done it. And that it is God that justifies, and in this definition, it declares righteous. Oh, I like that word, don't you? When I have seen my life and I've seen where I've stumbled here or messed up there or not quite met the grade there, and I've asked the Lord to forgive, and He says, I've taken care of that. I've taken care of that. I've declared you righteous by the blood of my Son. And I say, yay, Lord. Yay. And all these things, I am more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. Amen? Amen. Oh, God. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. Who is he, even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us? Here he comes, another thing. Look at all these things in this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses that we have. And I said, Lord, I didn't even get to this one scripture in all these things. And I'm reading all these wonderful things, one right after another. And he's saying, you do these things. I'm doing these for you. This is for you. This is for you. And all these things that I'm saying right now, He's making intercession for us. There's another one. He freely gives us all things. That's another one. He has called you. That's another. And all these things, you are more than conquerors. Amen. Do you see how one verse can just be opened up and the Spirit can just set it aflame? And we know by His Word that we can make it. Because He's freely given us all things. He has justified us. He has called us. And we can make it. We don't have to fail. Then he says in verse 35, another thing, in all these things, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or sword? And I read it again. Nay. Nay. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We all have had something that's been holding us down and keeps us from walking on most higher ground. But Jesus said, come. He's saying it to me, he's saying it to all of us. Come, and I will alas set you free. All that I ask, that you come to believe. I don't believe I'm 100% made the grade yet. Is there anybody here that is? Then I think we can all fit into that in some degree. Don't you think so? But Jesus said, come, and I will at last set you free. It's all because you have come to believe. David read this verse and I said, well, Lord, that means we're in a warfare, isn't it? Yeah. We're not to be just pacifying, especially in this day and age. We are to be awake, alert, for our enemy is going around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Saints of God, it's time to awaken out of darkness into that marvelous light and walk awake. Praying always, without ceasing. Letting that voice of the Spirit become so keen within our hearts. And as the Scripture says, you'll hear a voice behind you say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Amen. We need to hear that voice more and more and more in this day and age. Second Corinthians 10 verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We cannot fight this thing with our own strength. I can't go down to the gym and get me some barbells and make my arms strong and get on that treadmill and beat myself to death until I'm black and blue and come out and say, I'm going to whip everybody. Because our weapons in this battle are not carnal. But mighty. Remember now, in all these things we are more than conquerors, right? But mighty. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Saints, if you got a stronghold in your life, this is the place to get rid of it. If you got something that's been holding you back, this is the time. This is the place. And set it on that straight path again. Glory to God. We're casting down, verse 5, imaginations. The Lord's working in our minds, isn't He? In our hearts. We got to put a check. I love the example he said about these perimeters that we put up, that we bounce our eyes off of things we shouldn't have and other things. I may not be bringing it out just right. But I tell you, our minds need to have checks and balances on them. We can control our thoughts. I can take my thoughts, and I'm not trying to be funny here, and I can get into a face as a zone. And what it is, I go off in some trip I was on, or I just sit there thinking about it, some fish I caught, or something that happened, or something happens to bring back a memory, and I just start thinking about that, and that's all my mind goes on for a little bit. And she said, oh, I know you're thinking about something again, aren't you? And I said, yeah. Now, this thing happened back 20 years ago. When you said that, that brought my attention. Or you weren't listening to me. I said, I knew it. I'm sorry. I'll try to get back on. But casting down imaginations, we can guard our minds and have the Spirit of the Lord cause us not to let the flesh come into our minds and take over. And put the mind in check under the power of the Almighty. And help us to control our thoughts. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Oh, isn't that wonderful? That is a relief. That's a way of doing something, isn't it? Yeah, was one of the ways we can get relief from thoughts, imaginations that shouldn't be there. We're to commit our works into the Lord. In other words, we're to put the Lord in everything that we do. And He says that He'll control our thoughts. Our thoughts will be established. Isn't that wonderful? I like things like that. It helps me. I want to learn how to be a better person, how to get my thoughts and my heart and my body and bring it under subjection and do the things God wants me to do and do them right. Hallelujah. And it says after that, in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. We have to fight that sometimes, saints. All of us do. We get a little bit higher in the way we think we are. And some people, they go off, they go so low that they just kind of get into a downward spiral. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody that goes into a, well, I did this. I'm pretty proud of myself. The Lord is telling us to get it in check. He is in control. He wants you to be His son, His servant, His body, His people. And if we bring our thoughts and get them right and our hearts right, then He'll fill it with Himself. And mighty things, we shall, nay, in all these things, be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We can fight this battle and we can win. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing, and this even going even deeper into it, bringing into captivity. Boy, you know, that's, you feel like that's a job. But the Holy Spirit says, you let me get control of you. And I'll help you mortify the deeds of the body that you may live. Read Romans 8 over and over and over again. The Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit. And that, or they war against each other. The carnal mind against the spiritual man. It's a battle there. Amen? But we can through the Spirit, who says, I will help you mortify the deeds of the body so that ye may live. And that's what we want. We want life. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You say, well, what? You know, I don't understand. I think about these things, but it's where we get off on these fleshly things and then we get so wrapped up involved. And I tell you, it's called one thing, I'm going to use an example, impulsiveness. I can, let's say I want a boat. Now I got one at home. I'm satisfied with that boat. It does everything I need for it to do whenever I get to use it. But there is a tendency to look at a bigger boat. There is one, I get mine 16 foot. There is one that is 18 foot. It's got a center console. It would be so much easier for me. And it's got a remote control down here. Instead of me going out here and raising that heavy motor myself, I'm almost getting too old to do it, that you just push a button, and that motor just goes up and down, up and down. Now, I can get that in my mind. I can get those magazines, buddy, and boat magazines. I can hit the Bass Pro Shops and look at the trackers and look at the outdoor programs, these guys flying across that water. And I can get so involved in that thing that before it's over with, I am desiring that thing. And I'm telling you, really desiring that thing. And I'm starting to slip a few bucks here into the corner of my drawer to save for that next move that I'm going to make. That's a small example of how your mind can be taken over by a simple thing like a boat. Can you imagine, and I'm going to be frank, what lust can do? Can you imagine what jealousy could do? Can you imagine what unforgiveness would do? It would eat you like a cancer. Jesus said, every thought and obedience of Christ. When you get like this, read this scripture to yourself. Memorize it if you need to be. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things... My glasses are... I got new ones coming, so excuse me. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These things you have seen and heard, these things you have received and heard and seen in me do. He says, I am your example. Could you say that to someone else? I am your example. These things, my brother, I want you to be able to have pure minds too. That you have seen in me, received and seen in me do. This is how confident Paul was that his witness was going out and it was pure and it was right. Received and heard and seen me do, and what's going to happen to you? That boat won't give me peace. And I'll tell you, jealousy will never give you peace. It will rip you to shreds. Unforgiveness will break you in two. But the God of peace will be with you. Oh, we need peace in this age, saints of the living God. Peace that passeth all understanding. So we fight the good fight, don't we? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth in the air, but I keep my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means I have preached to others, I myself would be a castaway. If it can happen to Paul, do you think it couldn't happen to us? We have to keep our bodies. And only we can only do that by the Spirit of God and be willing to be obedient to the Spirit when the Spirit through us says, no, don't go that route. And if we have the Word in our hearts, and I've seen this happen, a memorized Word, when things are getting kind of rough, a memorized Word will come forth in me and I can fight something off and go the other direction. The Spirit of God will do that. Amen. That fight brings us in tune with the great shepherd who knows how to guide and help and protect his sheep. Psalm 23:3 says, he restoreth my soul. That's what he does. From your depressions, from your ills, and from your things that's gone crazy, he's restoring it so that it could be in tune with the Spirit and work and with the Spirit. It will, the carnal part will be destroyed, yes, but he will restore it and give it life. His life. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So another thing he is doing, yea, we are more than conquerors. He's leading us into a righteous path. Are we kicking against the pricks? Are we holding it back? I want to go this way. I want to do my will, not thine, O Lord. We become completely obedient to the Father's will, and we are kept by the power of God and of His Son Jesus by the Spirit. Matthew 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. Save them. Save us. From their sins. Save us to the uttermost. I'm not just talking about a born again. But save us. For ourselves and our thoughts. And our own desires. Save us. He alone can do this. The name of Jesus. He has the power. He has the power to set us free. Yes. And I'll say it again. And we've heard it over and over. And to whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Oh God. There is power in the name. Power in the name of Jesus. Philippians 2 verse 9 says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in the heavens and things in the earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I have just a little bit more to talk about, and I want to talk about the name of the Lord and using His name for a few minutes. But I want to just stop for a second and talk about a song that was given years and years ago, and I don't even know if we've not sung it very much, but I just want to let you hear it again. And it's a very simple song. And my mom used to get so excited when she played it and sung it. And it goes like this. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Who can tell what the Lord can do? Who can tell of His love for you? In the name of Jesus, Jesus, He have the victory. A few of us know. Who doesn't know it? I just want to say this, right? Don't be bashful. I just want to see how many don't know it. Well, I'm surprised that Joe don't know it because he's been around a long time. But I will sing it one more time. Let it get sinking down your heart. It's a good old little old tune. And you'll catch it. And once I hit it, I can't get it out of my mind. I'll sing it all day long. But in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Who can tell what the Lord can do? Who can tell of His love for you? In the name of Jesus, Jesus, we have the victory. We have the victory. We have the victory. Do you believe that? There's power in His name. I'm going to read you something. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Listen now. He said, my word will not return unto me void. This is a statement right from the very throne. When the foundation of God standeth sure, we can believe that it's nothing is going to shake that foundation. Amen? We talked about it. He read about Ephesians, all through those things. Those are foundation principles. And it standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. I believe I'm His because I have the Holy Spirit within me. I believe I'm His because I felt His Spirit. I believe I'm His because I feel His love and I feel the love coming through me. But I still know that I've got a job to do, I've got a work to do, and I still have a life to keep going. To be able to stand before Him in that day and be counted worthy. Amen? Amen? My fight's not over with until the day I see Him face to face. And then I'll be known even as I'm known. But I know He's in this Word. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And here it comes. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ. You want power in the name of Christ? You want power to raise the dead? You want power to heal the sick? You want power in Jesus' name to pray? Then we obey every part of His Word. And it says, everyone that nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. And this is a mature subject. For mature people who've been walking with God for many years. And I need this verse just as much, I know, as everyone in here. We need to be rid of the sin or anything, whether it's a temper, whether it's a mannerism or anything that God's not pleased with, and depart from it. By His Word and His commandment, He is able to give us the victory. And everyone that nameth His name, that does not depart from iniquity, our power is broken in Him. I don't want to say this, But I've got to say it. We are powerless as a body of Christ, as a church, if we cannot depart from iniquity. That's the reason I said this is going to be a hard thing to say. We've got to get it out and get it taken care of. God wants a clean people. Amen? He wants my life pure. He wants my life holy. He's still working on me. I need it. But I want to be able to use that name and the power it proclaims to claim the victory over sin, death, and hell, and the power of the enemy. Amen? Psalm 119, verse 9. Here's another clue how you can accomplish this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. You let the word of God come in quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when it checks you, it cleanses. What did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, you are clean through the word that I have preached unto you. I've often dwelt on that. I said, isn't that wonderful? That his word that he preached to them and said to them had cleansing power to it? You ever thought about that? How would you like for Jesus looking at you, he said, Brother Matthew, you are clean by the word that I have said unto you. Artemis, you are clean by the word of God that you have heard today. But he said, there's one here that's not. He's a devil, the son of perdition. But you are clean by the word. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. The word says, confess your sins, doesn't it? If I'm obedient, if I've done something wrong, I will go and repent and confess it, right? The word says, love one another. If I have a hard time doing it, I need to confess it, right? The word says to, if at all possible, live peaceably with every man. David mentioned wrath. If I have a temper that goes out here and hits somebody and I get riled up easily, then I need to confess it, don't I? The Lord's working on us, isn't he? This is kingdom stuff. Saints, the Lord is fine-tuning his people. Why? So that we all may be one. So that the world may know that thou hast sent the Son. And we name the name of the Lord. If we stand for him, he says, I have placed my name on you. He said that all through the Old Testament. I have placed my name on you. I have placed my name on you. And if I name the name of the Lord, then I am to depart from iniquity. And it can be done. Second Timothy 3 verse 20. I'm getting right to the end here. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth and clay, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge or cleanse himself from these, and you say, how do I purge myself? Well, you just heard it. Confession, if you hear it. Or taking heed according to the Word of God. If the Word of God says, thou shalt not steal, and you're out here stealing, then that's taking heed to His Word. Quit stealing. Amen? If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Who wants to be a vessel unto honor? Boy, I do. Sanctified, set apart. And here it comes. God using us. And meet useful for the Master's use and prepared for every good work. Those things which you have heard and received and seen in me, do. And the God of peace will bless your heart. Oh, hallelujah. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Oh, hallelujah. Nay, in all these things, He's given us the pattern, the sanctification, freely gives us all things. Then He says we're more than conquerors through all these things. He's interceding for us. The Spirit's working in us. But we got a lot going for us. Amen? We are to do the works that God has called us to do. We have the victory through His name. But I want to go a little bit further just for a minute. There's more than just being a conqueror. And here it comes. John 14:12. I know you're getting a little weary. I only had four pages of little notes. I didn't know it would go this long, but it is... I do my best to shorten it, but I get carried away. But I need to say what I need to say, saints of the living God. Not only for you, but for myself. John 14:12. All there?
All there.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, I keep this verse in mind. Yea, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater than these shall he do. More than conquerors. Isn't it something that the Son of God would glorify himself in his people and allow his people to do greater works? I can't fathom that. So why should we get bent out of shape if someone else gets a job that we don't get? Or someone else gets this and we don't get? Or something we feel like is more important than what we should have got? We're going to do the works and greater works if we walk with Him. And that means not only just the man on the front row, it's in the middle, it's in the back. It's all of us. If we follow His commandments. Greater works shall and greater works in these shall He do. Because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's the reason. The Father desires glory. And He desires glory for His Son. And we're going to give Him the glory. Because a son of God does not give glory to himself. A servant of God gives glory to God for everything he does and says.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God does not talk of himself, but he talks about the Lord Jesus and reveals the Lord Jesus to us. And here it comes. Boy, it just gets better and better. Verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. How should that happen? Because we are naming the name of Jesus, because we have departed from iniquity, right? We're living a holy life, right? God is justified. Don't be condemning your brother because he's having a hard time. Pray for him. Support him. Build him up in the faith. Pray for me. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then he puts this last clincher in verse 15. If you want this to happen, if you want these things that we long for, the sick healed and the prisons open and the captives set free, then we read it all, not just this, and say, glory, let's go out and have a wonderful time in the Lord doing greater works. If you love me, keep my commandments. I have given my mind over you, Lord. I brought every thought, every imagination under control of your Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask you to help me to walk the walk so that I can do the works, so that you can do the works that he has called you to do before the foundations of the earth. He has a plan for each one, every one that will name his name and glorify his name that has been called and chosen to be faithful to walk that wonderful walk, departing from iniquity, from this world, and having their mind set on the living God, and hearing that voice behind him that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And the more we get closer to Christ, the less this world, as David says, you don't even hear these things or see these things anymore. You just start hearing that voice. It is getting clearer and clearer. This is the way. Walk ye in it. We can step every day. This is the way. Walk ye in it. This, we don't know what to do about this house. This is the way. Walk ye in it. We don't know what to do about a car. This is the way. Walk ye in it. You see, the Lord just steps in and guides us step by step by step by step. He promises that. As we walk in faith, our victories will come because he hath promised. We also sing a song. And this song, and I love to sing it. Christ has set me free.
Amen.
Glorious victory. Sin and sickness and death and hell have no longer power over me. I don't care if I do have something wrong here, a limb that's not working right or something like that. If the Lord leaves me in that condition, but it will not have power over me. Because I belong to Christ. Amen?
Amen?
And I'm sick of not being able to claim this to the fullness. I want the power of this to be in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Christ has set me free. glorious liberty. Sin first, and sickness and death and hell shall no longer have power over me. Oh, glory to God. Do we believe this?
Amen.
Last verse. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that for your labors, that your labors is not in vain in the Lord. One day he'll pierce that eastern sky, and he says, I will have my rewards with me to award every man according to his works. Stop worrying about the other brother's works. You got to face, I got to face the Lord in that day one-on-one. Amen?
Amen.
And if I failed him, then I have failed. And I believe that I can stand on the gospel of 2 Peter that says, take on virtue and brotherly love and these wonderful truths. And if I do these things, I shall never fail. And I can keep reading that and memorize that and let it sink in my heart. And I'll be partakers of the divine nature through Jesus Christ my Lord. And there is scripture after scripture. And he says, your abundant entrance shall be given you into the kingdom of our God. That's another message in itself, ain't it?
Amen.
This reading, and let that word saturate you. Saturate you. And the love of God be in your hearts, and peace be unto your souls. I just hope this hasn't been a long time for you, but I tell you, it took a long time for me to get it out. And that's the trouble. If I was a better person, I could probably get it out more clearer, but that's it. But I want it so bad. We sang a song, whether it was before this meeting or the meeting before, there's a longing in my heart for Jesus. There's a longing in my heart to see his face. I am weary, oh so weary, of traveling here below. And my weariness is the battle. That doesn't have to be weary if we can just turn it over to him. Of traveling here below, there is a longing in my heart for him. That I may know him. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Being conformed to his death. That if I be partakers of his death, I shall, hallelujah, be partakers of his resurrection. And I can long and search and seek. And you can too. And the victory will be ours. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God bless you. Oh, okay. Let's just have a word of prayer before we go to the next step. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your help. Lord, and we need you so much. take hold of our hearts and our desires, Lord, and bring us into your pattern, in your path. Let our steps, Lord, be ordered of the Lord as you promised. And help us to walk faithfully, everyone here, with a heart that's pure and a heart that loves you. And Lord, you said your commandments are not grievous. So give us a heart to understand and ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart that will understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We love you, Lord. You loved us first. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. And we love all that's here. And you love them too, Lord, to the uttermost. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you came. And keep telling us more, Holy Spirit, the rest of this week, more and more about your lovely name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We get down to the brass tacks of a camp, and there are expenses to be paid. And like one person said, that it has been announced many times, there's no accident, that you only pay half of what the bill really is. So if you don't have it to give, there's no compulsion here to make people give something they don't have. But if you have it, we're going to take up an offering for the expenses of the camps. And if you have something that you want to put in there toward expenses, then we will use it faithfully. I am thankful to God for this camp. Amen. I remember about, I can't tell you how many years ago, I was standing right down there and I was getting ready to collect the offering. And Brother Witter asked me to come up here and pray for the offering. And I said, Lord, thank you for this camp. May there always be a camp. I don't know why I prayed that prayer, but it just seemed the right thing to do. May there always be a camp. You know, these things, they cost. So we got to take care of the cost. You're not compelled. You give freely. So we need some deacons and some helpers to come up here and see if we can take care of this matter. And we're so blessed. God is so good, isn't he? I really have enjoyed this place this year, and I hope we can come back. But David Heath, how about praying over the offering, please?
Father, we've been so richly blessed this week, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for just the rich anointing, Lord, that has fallen on this camp, on your people. And Father, we do thank you for the facilities and for this wonderful camp. Father, how abundantly you've blessed us, Lord. And Lord, I pray for this camp that it be blessed also, and the people that work here have been so generous and kind to us. And Father, Lord, as we take the offering for expenses, Lord God, Father, we know that you will bless this offering, Lord God, unto you, and bless the remainder of this camp, Lord God. And Father, we do pray that we will be able to have another camp, Lord God, as you provide by your Spirit, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you make it out a check, make it out to Global Missions. This is not your tithe. This is a gift. The Lord says, come into the house and bring your tithes and your offerings. So this is an offering. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good.
God is so good, He's so good to me.
Are there any announcements?
I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited. You know, we've been hearing a lot about the how, and I've been sitting back there, especially tonight, thinking, well, when you start talking about the how, you're talking about stuff happening, and I likened it to like we're building a rocket ship. You know, we're doing something, and we're building a rocket ship, and one of these days we're going to crawl in that rocket ship, and we're going to take off. So it's very exciting. Praise the Lord for His goodness to us. So a couple of announcements. First, these ladies' sunglasses, if anyone is missing a pair, were turned in. They are up here at the podium. If you happen to know who they belong to, you come up here and claim them, please. Of course, refreshments. I know that our schedule yesterday was a little thrown off, and that's okay. But our refreshments will be served as planned tonight down in the dining area at the conclusion of our service here tonight. I'm assuming that what are you calling yourselves, the water bugs? Who was it that's going to do the water aerobics? Are we still doing that on a daily basis? Okay. Okay, they're skipping tomorrow. Okay, so let me know if we need to make another announcement, okay? I do want to really encourage you not to utilize the... You may see some of these Dasani water coolers that are sitting around with ice in them, and the camp has been very kind about providing us with water and even some sodas this afternoon. And through the week. But they're not your personal fridges. We found some partially consumed bottles that were put back. So you might want to think about either taking them with you or throwing them out. So all right, this next announcement I did not write. You'll figure this one out pretty quickly. There will be a brisk-paced early morning 5-mile hike on Thursday morning. There's not a whole lot of in that sentence that I could have come up with. So, if you'd like to participate, meet in the lobby at 6:30 a.m. We will miss breakfast. No, that I could probably spare. But plan to be back no later than 8:30. Please wear appropriate hiking shoes and bring a water bottle, preferably not a partially used one, but and a granola bar for your breakfast. Are you planning on like pulling off the side of the walk and having a little brunch there somewhere along the way? Okay. Okay, good. Well, all right, I understand that. We will leave strictly by 6:35 a.m. This is not a leisure walk or morning stroll, so please only come if you are properly prepared. So I've marked my name off of that list. But I will certainly kudos to those who are on that list. We are hopefully going to have a campfire tonight on the patio behind the dining area. I say hopefully. The camp was supposed to leave us the materials to do that, and if not, we'll make sure that it occurs for the remainder of the week. Yes, somebody has a question over here.
Oh, I was going to say they have wood by the fire pit, so
Yeah. Yeah. Then they placed the firewood. Good. Thanks. Thanks. Yes. Again, I didn't write this. I'm just telling you that it says we will leave strictly by 6:35 a.m. So if you can do that by 6:35 a.m., then I suppose that would work. But I don't think the cafeteria opens until 7, so it's going to be tough. All right, I'll take one more question. Of which group? Yeah. Maria. All right. One other thing. We also are planning on campfires at the top of Caraway Mountain. And this will be available for anyone who would like to participate. Obviously, it will not be tonight, but hopefully at least Wednesday and Thursday nights. And the camp will provide transportation up the mountain. It's quite a walk. It's not a bad walk, but it's not a fast-paced walk. So perhaps, you know, if you'd like to participate in that, we certainly don't want to take away from the refreshments. So that's the, you know, that's the thing that. But if we have some time afterwards and you would like to go, then we can carry folks up the mountain and then you can look at the stars. And there's a big field up there that's very nice. Are there any questions? Does anyone else have a question? No.